You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, folks, welcome back to the show, live broadcast from Memorial Day weekend, a very special, as it turned out, open mic and caller-driven broadcast of the Political Cesspool. We can't start the third hour of tonight's live show until we finish the second one. And to explain what that means, Keith Alexander, even though he's off the clock officially and it's Eddie the Bombardier's time, Keith wants to make put the cherry on the cake, the icing on the cake, if you will, one final sentence about the issue that just won't go away the last couple of weeks of the show, the Brown versus Board of Education decision. And I believe Keith's comment is in response to Tom, who called in from Indiana.
Okay, let me leave this one kernel of thought for Tom and other mainstream conservatives to chew on. There would never have been a Roe versus Wade decision if there had not been a Brown versus Board of Education decision. You can't endorse any part of liberalism and effectively resist the liberal juggernaut. You've got to go back to the demon seed, which was the Brown decision. That's where the template was set and the template was used, and Brown versus Board of Education's template led to Roe versus Wade. It led to gay marriage. It's led to environmentalism. It's led to radical feminism. Every time that the left encounters implacable resistance from the majority of Americans, they resort to that old standby, going to the Supreme Court and getting a critarchy of appointed for life, insulated from public opinion justices to endorse their position and force it down the throats of Americans, be it public prayer, be it abortion, or whatever.
Thank you for that parting shot. And I would say, too, you know, especially with this thing about sodomite marriage that we see, it seems like every week now, a new state, or excuse me, a judge in a different state will legislate from the bench that, oh, yes, of course, sodomite marriage is constitutionally recognized. I think in one of the most recent examples, Arkansas was one of the more recent, but it was in another state, a homosexual judge issued the decree and issued the decision. Well, of course, a homosexual judge is going to say homosexuals have the right to marry and to do anything. And, you know, it doesn't matter that everybody in the state, 80, 90% of the people voted against. It doesn't even matter if the congressmen and senators from that state and the state representatives and governor, whomever, are against homosexual marriage. All that matters is that one judge thinks it's legal, and that judge overrules all of the voting public, all of the elected officials, and that's it, and there is no recourse, and you can't throw them out of office. You can't unelect or unappoint these judges, and they are there, and there is nothing you can do about it. You can't overturn that at the ballot box. Your elected officials can't do anything about it, and it all started with Brown. And we got to go to Pappy now. Thank you, Keith, for that. And, you know, Keith mentioned something very I don't even think he intended to necessarily, but he mentioned the demon seed. You know, the Brown was the demon seed for all of these radical egalitarian rulings that we have suffered through. And we're going to be talking about that this hour. Satanism in the United States. You know, we mentioned the satanic statue. Thank you very much, Keith. Love you, buddy. Satanism is, well, I guess it's always been alive and well, but now they are just coming out and admitting that that is their God. And we're going to talk about that, but before I even open up that can of worms and let you dive into the things you've been researching and preparing for, Eddie, I want to toss it over to you, say hello, and good to be back with you after being on vacation last week. You and Sam did a hell of a job third hour last show. If you missed that, folks, go back and listen to it in the broadcast archives, but get things started, Pappy, and then when we go to the next segment after the commercial break, I'll read a little bit about this story and then turn the rest of the hour over to you.
Man, it is so good to be back. It seems like a little son boy here has been gone for a month. I tell you what, we're ready to rock and roll tonight, people. We really are. I would just like to come back and say, with all respect, yes, there is something we can do. There's this thing called jury nullification. If the Congress passes a law, if the court passes a law, if the president signs something in the law, there's a thing in the Constitution that's called jury nullification. It was, you know, anything – that comes down, any law that's passed that's repugnant to the Constitution is to be treated as it never existed. It's not law. You see that coming on with states right now. There's a many states have are exercising their power of jury nullification, states' rights nullification under Article 10 of the Constitution of the United States. Maybe me and James can talk about some of that in the next week or two. But listen, we got this dynamite guy coming on us. Folks, I got to apologize because we were going to have Inspector Jim Rothstein on tonight. Evidently, there's been some kind of miscommunication. I guarantee you he will come on. He's on the road right now, but we'll have him on soon. But with that, we're getting...
Now, let me see. Okay. Jim Rothstein, tell him why, and he's been on before. Tell us why. And didn't you say he's Catholic?
Yeah.
With a very Catholic-sounding name like Rothstein, but he is Catholic. But... He's been on before. Tell us why he's significant, though, with regards to Satanism and some of the topics we're going to be covering this hour.
Listen, Inspector Jim Rothstein was into Satanism and is investigating it before investigating Satanism was cool. He was on the trail of the Son of Sam. Speaking of, this is not the Son of Sam I'm talking about now. Me and Sam Bushman. Sam Bushman the Son of Sam. But me and Sam, we kind of briefly mentioned that last week about talking about Inspector Rothstein. But we have new listeners come on every night, every weekend. They're not the same listeners. We had what they call, some people call him the Son of Sam. Some people call him the 44 Bulldog Killer, the 44 Killer. He used a 44 caliber pistol to kill his victims. He was a serial killer. He operated mainly around the area of New York. Jim Rothstein was the one that set up that investigation. He did not arrest the Son of Sam when he was arrested, but he was responsible for setting up the whole operation. He was the head honcho on that investigation, if I'm not mistaken. He also was also instrumental in having Cardinal Spellman arrested. Can you imagine arresting the head honcho in New York of the Catholic Church, Cardinal Spellman? Well, once he was arrested, and I guess he was released on bond, and they arrested him for, I guess you can guess, he was a massive pedophile. He sodomized no telling how many kids, children. He liked the little boys. And, Inspector Rothstein was in on that. And also, Inspector Rothstein, I'm not going to give too much away because I want him to talk about it. We usually do this Rothstein, the Satanism stuff on Halloween. But, folks, I'm telling you what, it's not a gobbledygook goblin story, although it's Halloween's a nice time to do it. But this stuff is real. This Satanism is extremely real. Specter Rothstein is a real good friend of Senator John DeCamp, who has also been on this show years ago. And Senator John DeCamp was the one that wrote the Franklin cover-up. And Inspector Rothstein helped make that book accurate when John DeCamp wrote the book. You need to go in and kind of get a summary, get an abstract. You don't have to read the whole book. Get an abstract of the Franklin cover-up. I bought a whole box one time and gave the books away. A lot of my Kool-Aid, Milk Toast Baptist friends said it was just too rough. They couldn't read it. But they need to know what's going on out there. Well, anyway, let's get back to Satanism. Hang on one second. Sun Boy's got to make a quick point here, folks. We're going back to Sun Boy.
Well, the point will be made after this break. I knew we were coming up on a break, so I didn't want to open up the can of worms. Yeah, we're going to give you all the details about this statue of Satan that is intended to be put up in Oklahoma next to the Ten Commandments. I know we mentioned it in passing last week. We're going to give you all the details, and they're pretty bad. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss it.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, welcome back. I know it was mentioned a little bit last week, and we've mentioned the headline a time or two, but let's talk about this statue of Satan that is intended to be put up in Oklahoma next to the Ten Commandments. And we got a picture of it here on our website, and it's horrifying. And it's got two kids looking up at Satan almost in a worshipful type manner. The image of Satan in this is, basically a man's body with a goat's head. And anyway, the Satanic Temple, based out of New York City, and that's a very appropriate place for them to be based, either there or Los Angeles or Washington, D.C., it would be appropriate. The Satanic Temple allowed media a sneak peek at their statue that they plan to place right outside a monument of the Ten Commandments on the grounds of Oklahoma's Capitol building in Oklahoma City. The 7-foot tall statue is an effigy of Satan surrounded by two children gazing up at him. A throne complete with a pentagram is also being constructed for the figure to rest upon. After the design is complete, the statue will be cast in bronze and delivered to Oklahoma. The statue is intended for children to interact with. The Satanic Temple states that we are keenly attuned to the need for a public-friendly design, and a plan is to make our monument of Satan an object of play for young children, even telling CNN that people can sit in the devil's lap for inspiration and contemplation, Eddie. The Satanic Temple was able to raise $28,000 in order to build this statue. That's more than the political cesspool's annual budget in one statue. The campaign was launched to contemplate and contrast the Ten Commandments monument, which was donated to Oklahoma's Capitol by Representative Mike Ritz using private funds. The temple wants to do the same thing. Here's where the plot thickens, Eddie. Listen to this before you comment. The American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, filed suit against the Ten Commandments in August of 2013 because the monument stands alone with no other monuments or memorials in the immediate vicinity. So I guess they thought, putting one of Satan would be appropriate. But it's just like the ACLU to file a law. How do you file a lawsuit against the Ten Commandments? But anyway, they did it. The ACLU says that this sends a self-evidently exclusive message of an endorsement of religion by the state. the Satanic Temple said, by accepting our offer, the good people of Oklahoma City will have the opportunity to show that they espouse the basic freedoms spelled out in the Constitution. We imagine that the ACLU will also embrace such a response, allowing us to donate a monument which show that the Oklahoma City Council does not discriminate, and both the religious and non-religious should be happy with such an outcome. Our mission is to bring people together by finding common sentiments that create solutions that everyone can appreciate and enjoy. And I guess that would mean Satan worship. Speaking to the media, the Satanic Temple spokesperson Lucian Greaves said, quote, "The idea about the Ten Commandments being foundational to the United States or to Oklahoma law is obscene. I would argue that the message behind our monument speaks more directly to the formation of the United States constitutional values than the Ten Commandments ever could." All right, Eddie, I don't even know where to start with that, but you can do it.
There is a month's radio work right there, but I will open this statement. I will address this statement to the ACLU. You're supposed to be a bunch of lawyers. You know, how can you be so ignorant? How can you be so stupid? The very first Chief Justice of the very first Supreme Court here in the United States in 1789, you know what he said? There's a guy, his name is John Jay. He was one of the authors of the Federalist Papers. It was John Jay, Jefferson, and I think Madison. All right, here's what John Jay said. I'll say it again. John Jay was the very first Supreme Court Chief Justice. He said, and I'll paraphrase, "Since the United States is a Christian nation, it was started by Christians, for the greater glory, to give the greater glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." That's what the very first Chief Justice said. Those sentiments are hammered all through the Federalist Papers. And the Federalist Papers isn't even 0.1% of all the documents from the founders for the first 100 years in this country, starting with the Mayflower Compact. Starting with all the state constitutions, the Constitution of New York, the Constitution of Virginia, the Constitution of Rhode Island, of Georgia, you name it. They all say the same thing. So research your law, you Satanist ACLU people. And you know the people that want the Satanism in here, these Satan statues, before I get on to more facts, if you don't like it here in a country that used to be a Christian country, I would invite you to go to be with your father, Satan. And I would, if we could get a bus going to hell, we would take out a loan here in the political cesspool, and we will get you a one-way ticket to hell. That way you can't come back to be with your father, Satan, because that's where you belong. And I'll tell you one flat thing. We ain't going to put up with that crap right here in the South. They might go put up with that out there in Oklahoma, but I doubt they do. This is not going to fly around here. I'm going to tell you something else, people. This Satanism stuff is real, 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 real. It's not a bunch of like little Casper the Friendly Ghost, little devils flying around with their little suits on and horns. This is real. Satanism, people that worship Satan, they are impermeated. They've impermeated all of society. You go to Hollywood. Listen, and since we've been talking about this in the past couple of weeks, I've gone in and done some research, watched some YouTube videos. You can't, it's hard to name a big time rock and roll singer that has not sold their soul to Satan. I watched this before and after YouTube, James, and you might not have seen it, of these fabulous, these sweet kids that used to be, just good, wholesome movie stars like on Disney and stuff. Hey, I'll tell you one. Go and look at the before and after photographs of Hannah Montana as she progressed from just a nice kid on into giving the devil sign, like the saluting to the goat of Mendes. This is a statue that James pulled up. That's supposed to be the goat of Mendes.
Yeah, let me say one thing about that. Yeah, there's no I'm glad you're drawing this parallel, because there's no shortage of examples like this. And even in the most recent Grammy Awards, you had Madonna coming out with a pentagram behind her, making devil worshiping gestures. Yeah, so if you don't think that there is an element of outright Satanism and Satan worship in the hearts and minds of those who control our media, and you see how this Satanism infects a person, you look at the before and after of somebody like Miley Cyrus, who you're talking about, Hannah Montana, and you can see it with others like Britney Spears and all of them. I don't know if Spears ever started out as wholesome as Montana, but Cyrus at least was portrayed in the media. But yeah, you see the after effects once these tentacles reach someone and what it does to their life and what they look like and what they stand for. It's real.
Yes, it's real. You know, if you go back and look just a few years ago, James, at Miley Cyrus, she was the most, I mean, she never was a big sex symbol. She wasn't the most beautiful, but she was very pretty. She was a real pretty young girl. I think she's only about 20 years old. She had beautiful hair. I think her strong point was her hair. Well, what has she done? She shaved her hair off like some kind of lesbian. Well, she, you know, likes a lesbian Satanist. I guess that's what she is. She's flashes a sign. She's flashes the you know, the satanic symbol to honoring the god of Mendes, who's a Satan. She talks about the Illuminati. I'll tell you another one did that. You mentioned, well, I tell you what, Michael Jackson. Not that I'm a big fan of the black singers or anything, but you go back and look at Michael Jackson. As blacks go, he was a wholesome-looking, clean-cut, just almost be a church singer. If you see how he progressed, his complexion, like Miley Cyrus, just got to be like ghostly white. You know, he lost weight, and Michael Jackson. I don't know if you know this or not, but Michael Jackson came out and called the man who headed Sony Records. He called him a devil, and he said that he was a big time in Illuminati, and he said, along with some of these other singers, if you're going to make it in Hollywood, if you're going to make it as a singer, you got to join the club. Now, one more thing, I'm going to pass this over to James. If you look at Hollywood, who completely controlled? Going to go to the break. Okay. We'll take this up after we come back to the break.
Yeah, and I was going to say, too, as we go to this break, yeah, a lot of those 60s black singers were very wholesome in terms of the music that they had. Very good harmony out of Motown with the Four Tops and Temptations. I mean, the songs were pretty good, and it's really infected their... we'll get to it after the break. We got to take a timeout.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking about now the reemergence of Satanism in the public arena. Certainly, it's always been working behind the scenes, especially in the media in the last 100 years, in Hollywood and other places. This has perhaps been a driving force. But now you see it much more public, and people not recoiling from it quite as much as certainly they should. And we were talking about how, I think you were mentioning before the break, using Michael Jackson as an example, that this is something that plagues people across racial lines. You know, certainly white people are susceptible to it, but blacks as well. And, you know, you look at and we've even done articles about this on our website, and I've mentioned it. You look at some of the great music. You know, certainly music and entertainment was better in the 50s and 60s as a whole, but in the black community as well, you know, people like Mel Carter and some of even the Motown acts. I'm not saying I would agree with these people politically. I'm not even sure what their political beliefs were, but you can probably imagine what they were, and it'd probably be true. But I'm just saying, as far as their music went, I mean, I've bought their CDs. I've got a Mel Carter CD at home. I got Temptations, Four Tops, you know, so some of that melodic stuff, the harmonies, it's good music. I mean, they're talking about a lot of the stuff the white singers were talking about. Romance, talking about love, talking about relationships. And some of that 60s pop music, and it was wholesome. They dressed in suits. They, you know, behaved. Now you can't even, if you're a black performer, you have to be singing about rap. You have to be singing about drugs. You have to be singing about, you know, promiscuity and you know, whores and things like that. But you were mentioning, too, in the commercial break, Eddie, even Beyonce, who was, I guess, one of the most recognizable music acts of this generation, started out even more wholesome than she's become, and you can fill in the blanks there and keep on talking about it.
Yeah, she was with a group called Destiny's Child. I would have known Destiny's Child from Winchester Western Shotgun Shells until I did this research, but according to the research, according to the so-called authorities, they always go for the most talented, the one that stands out in the crowd. Beyonce was in, I think, two of her sisters. I think the name of the group was Destiny's Child, but she overshadowed them all the time. Same way with Michael Jackson. He overshadowed his little brother's stuff. Same way with Miley Cyrus. She just put her dad, I can't even remember his name, just put him in the shade. I mean, he's just like a no talent compared to her. They always go for the top. Billy Ray Cyrus. There you go. Yeah, Billy Ray Cyrus. Thanks for that little note. Paw goes kind of blank sometimes. But, yeah, you know, they always go for the most talented, and the money drives the whole thing.
Beyonce's flashing Satan signs.
Yeah, and they're all, every one of them are flashing Satan signs now. Same way with your movie stars, people. We'll get off this minute. We're going to go to something else just a minute.
Let me say something about that. If I could interrupt you, Eddie, one thing about movie stars, because I believe, well, this was up on our website. Talk about it on the show. It was about how we were talking about this last week. It didn't make it onto the show, or rather it was on the website. It was child sex abuse is exploding in Hollywood. And I think Michelle Malkin, the syndicated columnist, had written a piece, and we reposted it at the Political Cesspool's website. But just talking about how all of these movie directors and producers, you know, pedophilia is just running rampant in Hollywood. And, of course, these are the same people that are in charge of putting forth these satanic images at the Grammys and all that. But you had in another manifestation a few days ago, earlier this month, rather, at Harvard, which was set out originally to be, I think, a Baptist seminary. It was a Protestant seminary, Harvard. They held a public satanic black mass at Harvard. The event was billed as historic, and a Harvard University student club hosted it, the satanic black mass reenactment, to celebrate witchcraft and satanic worship. Now, that happened. There was a couple of stories about it, rather matter of fact. But no outcry, no national news, no national horror, the fact that they were going to be doing open Satan worship at Harvard, but try to have a white student union club, you know, like you have a black student union club or a homosexual student union club. You got all these clubs that represent every race and thought process and sexual orientation that you have. You can't have a white student, you know, on the few campuses where you've had white student unions, not to oppress anyone else, but just to celebrate who we are and our ancestry and history and cultural heritage. You know, the national media descends upon these kids and just eviscerates them. But you have a satanic worship at Harvard and doesn't even make the news. And I wonder why that is.
Well, I'll tell you what. It hadn't been many years ago that would have been totally untolerated. That wouldn't have been tolerated for a minute. But what's shocking to me is it's just so open now. And if you, you know, raise your voice against it, how long will it be before we're labeled, us Christians are labeled as, you know, using hate speech because we say we don't want our children to learn Satanism? And you know, James, getting back.
We're being intolerant.
Yeah, being intolerant. But like, I'd just like to say one more time that Hollywood is totally, you know, infested with Satan worship. So with the industrial military complex. We talked about this not too long ago about we had a Marine Corps colonel's wife on. She talked about that. But we'll get more into this because when we can get Inspector Rothstein on, I kind of like to shift gears for a minute right now, y'all. If I have time, I would like to, since Ukraine has been such a hot topic, I'd like to talk about Ukraine just for a minute. For a short time, is I've heard some people say, and a lot of people say, and rightfully so, they want to know, is this really a false flag? Is the friction between the United States and the Ukraine, you know, and the Russians, is it a distraction technique? Well, yes, it is, but that's not, it's performing several functions. This is the gospel according to Pappy here. Yes, it is a distraction technique. But there's real things going on there, and I'm going to try to explain it. Our money system, and me and Sam talked about that with Scoop last week. Scoop came in and let us know that he had some intel from Washington, D.C. You know, Scoop is in D.C., and he's been told, and I've heard similar things, that Obama's supposed to, the Federal Reserve, they're supposed to devalue the United States dollar by one-third. I mean, people, that's catastrophic. They're supposed to devalue the dollar by one-third. Are they, is the United States going in there rattling a sword with Russia? Is that a distraction technique? They don't, not altogether, no. But it is, even though it's kind of complex, even though it is distracting people's attention from how bad the dollar is taking a beating, how little your dollar goes, how far it has, you know, it doesn't go anywhere in the grocery store. The Scoop pointed that out. Me and Scoop talked about that last week. But at the same time, what we call the Anglo-American establishment, they've been talking about going into this area in the Ukraine and Kazakhstan and Afghanistan for like 75 years. A guy by the name of Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote a book, I think, called The Global Chessboard. And he talked about that because, see, there's massive, 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 again, oil reserves in that part of the country. One of the pipelines, to the best of my knowledge, is coming out of that area of the country that's not in the Ukraine or not in Russia. It's coming out of these oil-rich nations designed to go through the Ukraine, you know, probably 1,000 miles, 1,500 miles. One of the big oil lines is supposed to wind up in Israel. What a shocker there, folks, huh? But, yes, so it is serving as a distraction technique, but not intentionally, if that makes any sense to you. It's getting people's mind off the dollar, but the Anglo-American establishment, they do want to be in that area because they want that pipeline coming through to Israel, and the Anglo-American establishment, they want to get their piece of the oil pie too. But also, the Russians have, they, you know, the Ukraine used to be a part of Russia under the old Soviet Union. Let me tell you this too, The European Union also, they'll benefit from this distraction technique also, people, because the European Union is also, they're in as bad a shape, probably maybe even worse shape than the United States of their economic system. But see what's getting ready to happen here, people, and this is the gospel according to Eddie Miller. I may be wrong, but I think the financial system, from everything I've read and listened to people I greatly respect, it may not be in July, like Scoop's buddy said, but listen, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, and it's not going to be very long. What's left of the dollar is going to completely crash, and it's going to be done by design. And I tell you, you know, how do I know this? Because if you go back and look in history, when the Federal Reserve stepped in and took us off the gold standard in 1913, it was done further under FDR when he called all the gold in. And some people say that Nixon closed the gold window, I think in 71, 72, because the French were bringing in, you know, billions of dollars in paper United States Treasury certificates and demanding gold. Well, they were draining the gold supply in the United States. We're getting ready to go to break. I'm going to come back and finish this up. We'll hit a few more other points I'd like to hit.
Stay tuned, everybody, for tonight's conclusion with of the political cesspool. Eddie Miller going to wrap up the third hour when we come back.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1,200-millimeter coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. We're wrapping up tonight's special caller-driven and Memorial Day weekend holiday special. I want to thank our audience again for putting us week after week, and tonight is no exception, in the top 10 of programs in the country based on internet listenership. And to those tuning in on our AM/FM affiliates across the country, I actually got an email in from a listener in California who wrote in that she was listening to us on a affiliate I didn't even know we had. So, I mean, yeah, there you go. More and more people coming to learn about and love the Political Cesspool. And whether you're listening on the AM, FM dial or the internet or some other method, the Roku player, the telephone, you're calling in, turn your phone into a radio. Hey, great to have you here tonight. Happy Memorial Day, everybody. And I'm tossing it back over to Eddie the Bombardier Miller to wrap up the show. You were on a hot streak there before the break, and I know you got armed with more intellectual ammunition during the commercial itself.
Well, I strained all 12 of my brain cells to get that out. Man, what a great guy Sam is. I tell you what, Sam Bushman, I enjoy talking with Sam in the commercials. Me and James talk with him, as I do the show just about. What a wonderful guy. What a brilliant man. We were talking about the same subject that we were covering with right before we went to the break. Anyway, getting back to what we were talking about, and Sam just armed me with some new details. I think I mentioned that Scoop Stanton calling in last week, talking about he had intel that the United States dollar was going to be devalued by a third. Well, that's true. But before I go to what Sam told me, I'm going to say they really wouldn't have to do that in the United States unless they had some. If they did, let's just say there was no outside force forcing putting pressure on the dollar. They could still devalue the dollar to buy another 50%, but just printing more and more and more and more money and put it in the system. But here's what's happening, though. This is one of the many things that's putting the pressure on the dollar. Russia, since, if I got my facts right, since about March of 2013, has started selling their T-bills, the Treasury bonds, certificates. They've dumped them in the finance minister of Russia, that was in 2013, I just told you all about, folks. March of 2013, they had about over $1.5 billion in T-bills, or trillion. Now they started selling them. They're going to dump about a third of the United States Treasury bills. And people, that's like a geometric progression. For every 10 cents that you drop of a Treasury bill, on the worldwide market, that's going to have a greatly magnified effect of probably 5, 10, 5, 6, 8, at least maybe 10 times more than what the dumpage would be. In other words, you dump, say, $100. It's kind of like getting invested in commodities market. You for every penny that a corn contract moves or a gasoline contract moves, you'll make a dime on it. Well, I'm getting too complicated there, too far out. But here's the scoop to get right down to the nitty-gritty. Russia is dumping United States Treasury bills. They're going to the ruble. They're going to start doing their business in ruble. They're no longer going to do business with dollars. And one of the big reasons they did this, you can thank your wonderful politicians in Washington. You can grab your flags and march to the sound of the gunfire to the evil Russians. But they're doing this because the United States is trying to put the screws to Russia with all these sanctions they're putting on them. Because Russia wants to be the masters of their own country, God forbid. So, get ready. If I was you, and I don't usually do this, if I was you, I would get every penny I could, if you had any left, and I would put it in silver. That's the only thing I know to do. Buy food, buy guns, buy a chainsaw, buy something of real value, put it in silver, which is the poor man's gold. Now, getting away from that for a minute, James, I want to talk about something that I heard on Bach Radio the other day. It's a Christian radio station here in Memphis, Tennessee. I listen to it all the time. They have some great ministers coming on there. Bach Radio was saying that in Washington, D.C., guess people, how much do you think the tuition is? Here in Memphis, Tennessee, you can send a kid to the finest school in the Memphis, Tennessee, probably $20,000 a year, no more than $25,000. Well, get this. They're spending, according to Bach Radio, $29,600 a year per student in Washington, D.C. Their rate, success rate, is miserable. They have a graduation rate, something like 15%, 15 to 20. I don't remember the exact details. Just say 18% plus or minus 5% through their graduating students. The SAT scores, the ACT scores, are miserable. They're beyond miserable. And this is for $29,600 a year. I'm sure their solution will be to spend more money. Where are they going to get the money, James? They're going to tax people like us to death that they're already taxing us to death. All right, another little item. And we all know the public school system don't work, and they're raising little homosexuals there and little Satan worshipers. That's why we see all this crap in Hollywood, permeating our entire, all of our society. Another thing, for every Mexican, or maybe I should call them gracious Spaniards, for every gracious Spaniard we coming in here, I don't know how they, I've always said we don't have a border with Spain. We got one with Mexico, but for some reason I'm not going to name my church, but some of the people in my church, we call them Spaniards. So I just started calling them gracious Spaniards. But anyway, for every gracious Spaniard we have coming in here working at Walmart, and you see going out here doing these so-called jobs that white Americans won't do, the reason they can do these jobs that white Americans can't do is because it costs the taxpayers of the United States about $16,700 per year. That's for every one of them. And that's probably a very conservative figure. These people are getting, they get housing subsidies, food subsidies. They don't even have, I have never seen a Mexican that had liability insurance. God knows I've asked a bunch of them. Most of them don't even know what you're talking about. The majority of them don't even have a driver's license. I don't know if I mentioned this on the last week's show, but I wanted to. They had this one Mexican lady just crying crocodile tears, James, because they wanted to deport her. You know why they were? She's afraid she might get deported? Because she caused wreck. She ran a stop sign. She created an accident. I don't know if anybody was killed or how bad they hurt. But she didn't have a driver's license. She didn't have any insurance, and she fled the scene, and she got caught. And now she's crying crocodile tears. She wants the United States Congress to step in and prevent and block her being deported. And that's, and I guarantee you, we'll have the good Baptists here in the Bible Belt here in America. They'll be crying crocodile tears for her. They'll want to give another church to them. That really burns my grist, James. I tell you, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And listen, getting closer to home, I can tell you a story that happens to me. As you people might know, I complained for forever. You're probably sick of me complaining about the IRS and how they have a lien on my house. They've had a lien on my house since 2003 or 2004. They've locked down most all my every little shekel I could come up with. So I'm pretty well trapped in this neighborhood that's going bad right now. I can't sell it because it's got a lien on it. And if I leave, I just have to walk off and leave it. It's been paid for years, but even though you really never pay for it because you have to continue to pay taxes. Well, it's getting bad. I explained to a Mexican cop several years ago when he came to my door and he'd never come back again, that we have these things. I said, I don't know how you do things in Mexico, but here in the United States, especially Memphis, Tennessee, we have these things called ordinances. Can you say that, Jose? Let me hear you say ordinance. We can't put basketball goals in the middle of the street. We can't put wading pools in the middle of the street. I can't put a hammock out there in the middle of the street. And, I can't build a treehouse in the middle of the street because we drive vehicles down the middle of the street. Well, that's kind of a long story there, but I had to run in with a bunch of Mexicans and stuff putting basketball goals out in the street, called the cops. Cops didn't do anything. I was the racist because I was, I didn't want his paisans playing basketball and stuff like that. Well, now my neighborhood is starting to get inundated with Mexican businesses. The latest business right now is they're fixing cars and they're selling cars and they're towing cars and other things at all hours of the night. People come and go at all hours of the night, these houses, and some of them come and go with no cars. But what they're doing, I complain to the city, and you might as well be, calling a wild goose flying over your house because they're not going to do it. I've been on them and been on them and been on them. And matter of fact, I'm going to make this short. The last time I called the city the other day, I said, we got these ordinances. I named the two ordinances that all the violations been going on. And they told me, they sent an inspector out there, and they couldn't tell he was violating. They didn't think they were violating any of these ordinances. And I said, you know what? I've been trying to do something for years. I think I know what to do now. I can't get any help out of y'all. Is there an ordinance against me going down there with a sledgehammer and busting out windshields and putting sugar in the tank and slashing tires? Is there an ordinance against that? Oh, yes, there is, they said. Well, evidently, people like me we're going to have to take things in our own hands, and we're going to take this country back, James.
Well, I wouldn't advise putting sugar in a gas tank or anything like that, but, a waste of good sugar, that's right. Well, Pappy, I love your rants. I love, hey, You love what needs to be loved and disdain that which needs to be disdained. But, yeah, I mean, and the thing about the schools, too, you brought that up. I want to circle back to that very quickly. We have just seconds remaining. But that was one of the arguments against segregated schools. They said segregated schools were inferior and more expensive. Well, education standards have fallen for all races, and now it's $30,000 to graduate a kid, or not even graduate, just send a kid to daycare at public school in D.C. now, more than it costs to go to college. All right, folks, that's it for tonight. Happy Memorial Day weekend. We love y'all, and we'll see you next weekend here on the Political Cesspool.